Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and I am so thrilled you are here. We are nearing the end of 2025, and this is the end of the coaching series with Melissa. This is part one of our last coaching call together, session 6. And so podcast number, this is number 221, 221. And we're going to call this episode Slowly Productive, because I think as humans, we like to feel productive. We want to have value and have purpose in our days and in our lives. Looking back on it, we want to feel like we've accomplished things. We want to be productive, but we don't want to feel burnt out. We don't want to feel behind. We don't want to fall into hustle culture. And so this episode with Melissa, we talk about all of the things that she's accomplished in these past 6 weeks. And it's been a lot. She has done so much, but she also has listened to her body and followed her gut and her intuition and done things in a sustainable way. She is absolutely following all of the slow living advice that she has learned throughout these years of working together. I'm so proud of her, and I know you will be too. So let's listen with fresh ears to Melissa share in her own words how she has been slowly productive. All right, we are back with Melissa, and it is session 6, which technically, due to our agreement, means that we're done working together. And it's funny, Melissa, I was reading through your homework and I got emotional because I really like you.
I really like you too. And I mean, I remember listening to the podcast years ago thinking we would be friends in real life. So,
yeah, you've done a lot. I mean, you had a lot happening and a lot of balls in motion, but these past 6 weeks, you really, I mean, it's exhausting reading all of this stuff that you've done. I know we're slowing down, but you had a highly productive 6 weeks.
Well, I did. And you saw it wasn't perfect. There's still stuff to take to thrift stores and donation places in the old house. And we were going to be really good sports and power through it over the weekend. And it was record hot. And most of where we need to clear out is a converted attic space that my kids used as a playroom. And we made it till about 1 o'clock. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't anymore. So we're going to take care of that over the evenings for the rest of this week when it's a little less hot up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. So I know you need to sell the old house, and you're saying that it's 20 minutes away, especially after a long day's work. It's not fun. And then in the peak heat of the day on a weekend is not fun. What needs to happen? Does it need to get on the market by a certain date, or is there a deadline in place for that?
Not an actual deadline. Obviously, we do need to sell it. 2 house payments isn't ideal. It's doable for the next few months. I just want to be done with it. So the deadlines are all self-imposed, really.
Okay. And as far as closure, does it already feel like the old house?
It definitely. And you know, the kids have already come in and sorted through their things, and we've had a lot of really good, you know, emotional turning points, and all that is done. And I think that that kind of adds into my, I'm just ready to walk away from it. And I think knowing that I've gotten all I can out of that whole experience, makes me less excited, but also it was just really sweaty work up there, and I got tired of it and said, I'm not doing this anymore today, which is not like me, but I think it's good that I said, nope, done today.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I think paying attention to your body and honoring your boundaries is absolutely necessary. And there's a time and a place for pushing through uncomfortableness and doing things you don't want to do just for the sake of maybe later you want to be proud of yourself and say, oh, look at what I did. And then there's other times where it actually just kind of feels stupid and only you know the difference.
Now, when there was not, I was using my shirt to wipe my sweaty face, and I don't like being sweaty, and it's a whole lot. And so, like the third time I had to use a find a dry part of my shirt, I was like, nope, this isn't fun anymore. I'm
Yeah.
not doing this. I'm too old, and I'm not too old for anything, but.
Yeah. Good. Good. You had written in your call notes that this past Saturday's Peace Course, something sort of clicked for you.
And I don't know if people want names, so I won't share names, but we were all together talking about clearing out a parent's home and how frustrating that was. And the parents are in their 70s, and some siblings are helpful and some siblings are not. And like I said, it's sweaty and not fun work, but I'm so glad we're doing it now. And my husband and I are taking on the bulk of the responsibility. We did have the kids come through because we didn't want to toss anything that was treasure to them. But you know, we're still very capable of doing this on our own, especially now that we're down to the last closet of the last room. And I'm glad that they won't be doing this 20 years from now. That I was very grateful listening to
Yeah.
that last Saturday, that that's we're doing something different. And they won't know to thank us for that 20 years from now, but I'll know that they should.
Yeah. No, I thought the timing of that was really interesting. So, for anyone listening, we had someone who is in the process right now with her siblings and her own children while her parents are alive, trying to go through and helping them declutter and downsize. And the example she used is, Dad, do you really need seven ladders? And then they tried to explain all of the reasons why they needed seven ladders, because this one does this and this one does that. But also, if you're in your late 70s, maybe you shouldn't be on a ladder at all. And then someone else recommended reading, and I have read this book, and I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but I've shared it. It's a Lisa Jewell book called The House We Grew Up In. And it's kind of a, she does thrillers and mysteries, but this one is more of like a family dynamic, and it's about a hoarder house. And that's not to say that this woman's parents were hoarders, and it's certainly not to say Melissa is a hoarder. It's just the idea of it's uncomfortable to get rid of things and to feel like you're discarding memories.
No, well, and my kid dynamic, as she was describing, you know, her interactions with her brothers, I know which of my kids would be the, oh no, not that, and which of my kids would be the get rid of everything. And it's funny to picture, but I'm glad that in actuality they won't have to do that. I mean, there's this house, but we have decluttered and downsized significantly. And so, and hopefully that'll be a ways off from now.
It will be, and you'll be able to breathe and enjoy. And speaking of breathing and enjoying, I'm just going to fast forward, because one thing that you want to continue to work on is your new normal and your definition of what balance looks like within this downsized home, and the kids being off and work being easier now that you know what you're doing and have your evenings back.
And I still don't quite know what to do. Now Tuesday nights we have my daughter has a meeting with the youth organization that we're involved with, and my husband and I both sit on the board of advisors. So that meeting happens the second Tuesday of the month. So Tuesdays will still be busy, and I'm good with that. But in general, I come home from work and I fix dinner, and like I said in the questionnaire I sent back, yeah, okay, now what? Because I'm so used to having to run around. I'm so used to never having a minute. I'm still trying to figure out how to have a minute, and it shouldn't be this complicated.
Yeah. When you do find yourself with unscheduled pockets of time, what do you enjoy doing? What, like, are you still like, I just want a nap, or I just want to veg out on the couch? What usually happens?
I enjoy Netflix a lot. So there's that. I enjoy there's a new spinoff from the Outlander series.
What's that called?
Blood of My Blood.
Okay.
And
I loved the Outlander books. I
so
think
good.
I skipped way too many college classes so I could read.
I missed them in college and I don't know how because that's my wheelhouse. But when they were releasing the original series on Starz years and years ago, I heard there was a new series and I like to read the book first and I'm a reader. So by the time the series actually started airing, I was midway through the series and I'm all caught up and waiting for the next book along with everyone else. And again, I don't know how I missed that because I would have loved that, but I found it when I needed to, I guess.
Okay. How, so there's no shame at all in enjoying Netflix and watching TV and that kind of things. I always talk about hobbies as deciding on purpose, one for your brain and one for your body. And just something that you can do long term as you age. Have you thought a little bit about that?
Well, now that we're mostly done going over to the house every other evening or so, I joined, as I mentioned, the Healthy Living Center last year so I can get back to my workouts as normal. And I do that at least 3 times a week. It might change. I go in and I do the weight training at least twice a week. And I was going over there to use their track for walking. It's fairly small and you have to go around it n multiple times to get a mile or 2 miles. And again, it's a healthy living center. A lot of seniors use it for rehab. So I've never seen anyone run around that track and I would feel funny doing it and also feel like I was a danger to myself and anyone trying to rehabilitate by walking around the track. So now that I'm in this neighborhood and not out in the country, and it's not a gated community, but it's a series of cul-de-sacs, so it's very self-contained and very well paved. I think I might pivot to walking in the neighborhood as long as weather permits. Right now, we're walking in the pool, which is fun. But I know that's finite. They usually close that around Labor Day. So I think I might pivot as much as I can to walking here because if I wanted to run, I could do that without being worried I was going to knock someone down. Or and it's a fairly safe area, always lots of neighbors out walking dogs, kids on little bikes, things like that. So I think I'm going to switch that up and do more of that here in the new neighborhood since it takes, again, like I think my personal trainer told me like 16 times to make a mile.
Okay. I think that's great. First off, kudos for 3 times a week at the gym. I think that's fantastic. That's wonderful. And it's a lot. And that's just great. And I love that the new home is in a walkable neighborhood with sidewalks that feel safe. And that makes a perfect plan. And then as far as reading, I mean, some people think listening to audiobooks doesn't count as reading, but you can really listen and walk and lose track of time when you're interested in listening and finishing a really good book. And that feels great.
And it has to go somewhere because eliminating that 40-minute each way commute, has really cut in on my podcast schedule. I'm still figuring that one out.
Good. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. Some people feel like they can't hear traffic or cars or ambient sounds if they have earbuds in while they're listening to a book or a podcast. I'm able to, so, but goof around and see what feels right for you.
Well, and
Also, I'm cool with just putting the phone in my sports bra and playing it out loud because who cares? Nobody's that close.
the neighborhood again, pretty walkable, pretty self-contained, and so I'm less worried about that. I'll stick to the sidewalk. So yeah, I'm in a good spot for it now.
That's great. That's great. As we sort of wrap up working together, do you have any like anxieties or things we didn't cover that you're bummed about or worried about in the weeks to come?
I mean, not really. I would have loved to have been completely done moving. I would have been like, oh, that's full closure, but I'm so close to done. And I've just been at it so long. Again, there's a storage closet in the attic room in the back. The light doesn't work in it anymore, which I think was also a source of frustration of being over there. And that's it. Once we get that closet pulled out and sorted through, and that we're done. And but we're not quite there yet, and I quit before we were done last weekend, and it's okay. It was really hot.
Yeah, it was really hot. Okay. In your mind, do you see that the house is kind of gone before the holiday season ramps
Oh,
up?
absolutely. As again, I say we lived in the middle of nowhere. We really didn't. We lived about 2 miles south of city limits. And it's a very popular area now. They built a large casino a year after we moved there. We loved it because there was no traffic. And then they broke ground for the casino almost as soon as we moved. But it's popular. There are a lot of neighborhoods popping up, and a lot of them are gated communities. And some people don't want the gated communities. And we live outside a gated community. It's in a school district where people want their kids to go, a smaller school district. I always wanted our school district, which is where my kids went, because that's where I went my whole life. But it's a good one that it's in. And so I think it will go. I just need to finish up and get it listed.
Okay. Okay. Great. All right. When you do think about like the end of this calendar year, and the holidays, are you excited to, or I mean, you have such a glow and like perma smile on your face right now, which is so happy for me to see.
I have no idea where we're putting the tree, but yes, haven't worked that out yet, but
Okay.
I am excited.
Okay. And then you, and speaking of entertaining, you said you hosted an impromptu party.
We had been calling to see if we could use the neighborhood clubhouse, and by the time we connected to do that, my 16-year-old had gotten together with her friends and they had celebrated her birthday in their own way, and she didn't want to have a friend party in the clubhouse. And then the community president called back and said, oh, good news, you have the clubhouse. So we had the pool and the clubhouse. And so I said, well, okay, we'll just, it was beyond our usual family dinners. She called some of her friends and said, okay, my mom's making me have this party, as she does. So the friends all came back, and then I'm like, well, if you get to have your friends, I get to have my friends. So my two closest friends, who are her honorary aunties, and another friend of mine who did not come along in my teen years but has become a good friend, they came in, back and forth. It was kind of an open house. We all played in the pool. It just was really, really fun again.
Yeah. Do you think this is like you've come into who you've always wanted to be it for does that make sense?
For sure.
Yeah.
I always wanted my house to be a place where people could come over and hang out. And it was for a little bit. And then things in the house started to go sideways. And it wasn't that it was a hoarder house. I could
Oh.
clean it, but I couldn't guarantee that the septic tank was going to be functional. And you could shower or run the dishwasher or wash your clothes, but you couldn't do any of those things. The water was very hard despite any attempt to soften the water. And it just wasn't a place as it moved forward that I was comfortable with people gathering. And it wasn't even about keeping it in order because, you know, give me a Sunday afternoon and I can get it clean, but I can't promise the house works the way a house should. And that was when I had my epiphany that it was time to go.
Okay. So you had anxiety about the state of the house for a while, but just dealt with it. And maybe you didn't verbalize that, but it was this sort of underlying uncomfortableness for quite a while.
Well, I think I always thought, we'll fix that and then the house will work. We'll fix that and then the house will work. And, you know, again, oh, give me a Sunday afternoon and I can clear this out and people can come over. And I had false ideas, I think, let myself false hopes, not idea, hopes about what that house could be, because it has potential. And we have a lot of, because I mentioned selling it and I think it will sell, but we're most likely going to sell it to residential home flippers. We don't want to do, we have a realtor. We're not going the 1-800 route because we want whoever comes in to really be excited about the potential of the house. Like we were, we just decided, you know what? We're in our 50s. This house absolutely has potential to be a great house, but I don't know. That's what we want to focus on. We just want to be in a place where everything works when you turn a knob or turn on the faucet and not have to worry about fixing everything all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought it could be something great and it can be something great. The letting go part was realizing I'm going to have to let somebody else make it into something great because that's, I want to put my energy elsewhere.
Yeah. So when you think about like this new era that you're in, like the era of Melissa, like, okay, this is my time. You must have a sense of relief, like all of the stuff that you've worried about for years and maybe even decades, all just sort of worked out. Is that accurate?
It is. And I think I was willing to just kind of live with the house in its as-is condition because I have anxiety. And so I'm always used to at the lower level being worried about what could go wrong. And for many, many years, that was my baseline. And I didn't know that you could live differently from that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now as I come into it, and it's not an immediate overnight process, I still have anxiety. But as I realize that's not a default setting, that's something to be mindful and work away from. I wonder why I had to be 53 before I figured that out, because this is nice.
Yeah. I think that it's scary. The unknown is super scary. And if you have something that's working and you can just kind of put up with it and it's fine. It's fine. Was it that commercial for some drug and this woman is having, I think it's eczema, but all of this stuff, it's fine. It's fine. I think sometimes we spend a very long time dealing with it. Stiff upper lip. You were raised that way also.
I definitely was.
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled for you. I'm absolutely thrilled. Okay, we wrote your obituary. How did that feel?
Well, you'll notice I didn't put a death date.
No, because you're alive.
I didn't like the feeling of that. And no. I didn't put survived by because I didn't want to speculate on who would and would not still be here when that's actually a thing. I found that very mindfully leaving those two things out, I could still write a very good obituary. And I've done a lot for someone who really, with the exception of, you know, 18 months in Italy, never left Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then what is the overarching feeling that you get from reading through this?
I'm really proud of my inappropriate sense of humor. That needed to go in there.
Yeah, that made me laugh. Yeah.
And I hope that my kids remember me as loving and strong. I mentioned we had the family friend party kind of open house last weekend, and it was really validating to hear one of my kids talk about how messy they were and said, "I don't know how you didn't just, kill all of us. All we did was leave messes for you to clean up." And you're a mom. You wanted the kids. You're happy to have the kids. You don't love the mess, but it's just part of having kids. So I don't remember being particularly angry at them at any point about the mess, but I'm so glad they are acknowledging that they made the mess and blaming me for struggling to keep up with it when they were little, which obviously I did. There were five of them. I was outnumbered.
You were. Yeah, no, it's very validating to hear. So I started to smile when you used the word pride and proud, but then you dismissed it quickly and went to your inappropriate sense of humor, which is funny. But what about the other things? Do they make you proud?
Oh, they do. I did grow up stiff upper lip, but also academics were highly encouraged. And I think I did hit those benchmarks that were important to my parents, but were also important to me. I have, as you saw in the obituary, a very useless bachelor's in classics Latin, but it means I'm pretty smart, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I can read Latin inscriptions. It's not, a very marketable skill, but I'm proud that I can do it. The master's degree that I got, I had three small children when I started the program, and shortly after I started the program, found out I was going to have a fourth small child, and I powered through. It did take me an extra year, but I powered through and I got my master's degree with four small children.
Yeah. So, and that's such a huge accomplishment, and so many people have, I don't want to use the word excuse, because it's not an excuse when it's your life and it's your life circumstance, but you didn't let some things keep you from working towards what it is you really wanted. And that's so admirable, Melissa.
I mean, I thought about it. I had a really good academic advisor, and I had a professor that let me drop the class way after you're supposed to be able to drop a class because, morning sickness was not my friend for any of my pregnancies. And so I had some support on the university side of things for sure, because, without that support, I'm not sure I would have finished. But again, I had a great advisor who was like, "We're just going to take this semester off and you're going to focus on the baby and we will see you later and you will show us the baby and it'll be great and we'll dive back into this." And that's what we did. And so I had support. I wouldn't have done it on my own.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad. I really, really, no, I'm happy for you. Back to the pool party, and friends, and feeling like this starting this new era where it's your time, and you don't need to live life in order to care for other people or fulfill other people's needs. And you can be selfish, just for fun. You told your daughter that you were going to have some of your friends over. How did it feel to just kind of swim and relax with your own friends also?
It was great. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. Is there a way to carve out more friends time in the weeks, months, years to come?
Well, I mean, you saw that I mentioned, one of my friends and I are hitting the road next weekend, and we are driving to Minnesota. We were growing up, there were four of us. We were very, very close. And three of us are still here in our hometown. And one of us got her PhD, and she's a genius. And she lives with her husband and her two boys in Minnesota. And my friend goes up at least once a year to visit. It is harder for me to get away. And I realized when I did the math, it's been 4 years since I've been up there. So we are going to road trip up and visit our friend in Minnesota, and that's going to be fun. We really would like to kidnap our third friend, and she would really like us to be able to kidnap her, but it's not going to work out. Someday all four of us will be together again in the same space. So I'm carving out that time, and had that conversation at work a few weeks ago, which was great. My boss was really supportive about it. Yes, you absolutely should do that. And again, I have a house where people can drop by, and I'm guaranteed that the plumbing's going to work, which is important. And so I'm not anxious when people drop by anymore. Is the house going to be okay? Because it's always okay enough that I'm not worried about it anymore. I mean, sometimes there are dishes in the sink or there's stuff on the counters, but I can deal with that. And I'm close now to a lot of them, much closer than I was in my other house.
Good.
So yeah,
Good.
point is the home is ready and I live in a much more convenient spot for that. We're actually having, I'm hosting Bunko with another friend of mine. We're co-hosting on Friday. One of my friends said, "Hey, we're the age now, we should get together and play Bunko once a month." And it really caught on with a lot of our friends. She jumped on Facebook and said, "Hey, I'm starting a Bunko group and we're just going to do this." And so it's a very interesting mix of people I've known throughout my life and grown up with, and then people that are friends of friends. And I really enjoy it. We do that. We took July off because a lot of us were traveling. So this will be the first time since June that we've all been back together. But I really like this random group that we formed. It's fun.
Good. I love that. And the more you socialize and continue to have people from all walks of life, the better. Okay, Slow Down Society. That is a wrap for today. Thank you for listening to Melissa share her story and how she has done a lot in these past 6 weeks and how she's looking forward to the future. I want to acknowledge that at the end of this call, we started talking about how she's going to have people over. She's going to have friends over, and she's excited to show off her new house. She already had a birthday party for her 16-year-old daughter, but now she's going to host Bunko Night. And so some of you have written to me and have hopped on free coaching calls. And also, FYI, at any time, you can plop yourself on my calendar for a free coaching call. That's at stephanieoday.com/mindset. And we'll do a mindset strategy coaching call. But you've said you are lonely and you don't have a group of friends. And so listening to Melissa talk about getting together for Bunko, maybe you feel a little wistful and okay. Just acknowledge that and know that you're not alone and that there are other people who also feel that way. Episode 51, I talked about adult friendships, making them, finding them, cultivating them. Look around in your own community and see where you can find some friends. But episode 51, I talk about that. And then episode 73 through 79, I reached out to my email list and I said, anybody who wanted to share their story, let's share it. So these are just real people. They're not trying to sell you anything. And they're not coaching clients. They're just real people sharing their slow living stories. So we have Christy and Denise and Ruth and Emily and Lisa and Megan and Meredith. Listen to those and see what you can glean and garner from other people's life stories. And then another great episode to listen to is episode 180 with Jessica. And Jessica calls herself the autistic mom. And she also has written a memoir the same way Melissa is working on writing her family's life history in sort of a memoir type way. You might really enjoy listening to that episode 180. Okay, pretty people, as always, I think you're amazing and lovely and wonderful and kind. We are finishing 2025. If you want to start 2026 with a bang, download those new you worksheets, stephanieoday.com/new you. And then think about joining Simple Shortcuts to Peace. I am here. We are all here. with you. All of the participants in the course are just like how you hear Melissa and I banter back and forth, and how you heard Kelsey and I banter back and forth. And in a few weeks, you're going to meet Kelsey, and you will hear, excuse me, you will meet Shelley, and you will hear, these are different people from all walks of life, but we all have a similar thread. We all want to be slightly a teeny tiny bit better, but we don't want to push ourselves. We don't want to hustle harder. We're already doing enough. And so you too can have that happen. That's at stephanieoday.com/peace. Okay, be back in your earbuds next week with the final episode of With Melissa. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.